Hey everyone, my name is Darren, and it's great to be together here. Great to see some faces that I haven't seen in a while. Really good. We are going to continue in our series here called Word Alive. We started it last week, and last week we looked at this verse. It's going to be up on the screen here. I'm doing my own slides today. Mike Goff would be proud. Let's see how we do. I can't really walk and chew gum at the same time, so I'm going to try to preach and advance my own slides. We'll see. So last week we looked at Word Alive. This is where this series title is coming from. For the Word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. And the idea for this series is this. God's Word is so full of amazing things that convict us, that comfort us, that challenge us. And so each week, the one member of the preaching team is going to bring a scripture that has been significant to them personally and talk that through with us together. So we're going to share. It's going to be kind of random, but I hope by God's design, something that really demonstrates God's Word is alive and active with us. So this is what I'm going to do this morning with one of my favorite parables told by Jesus. So why don't we just pray as we come to God's Word together, and then we'll get started. Yeah, Father, we just celebrate the fact that you are alive, that you are living within us by your Spirit, and that your Word is alive and active. And so would you do that very thing in us this morning by the power of your Word? Speak to us to transform our hearts and our minds and our actions for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't know how many of you guys do this. You ever had this where you have to figure out who's going to do which part of the job? Like, at least for me and Pam, it's sort of like, well, okay, I'll pick up the kids, you pick up dinner. Or, you know, sometimes with our kids, it's like, all right, well, we're going to unload the dishwasher together. You do this part. You guys do that part. Or maybe it's sort of, I'll cook. You clean up the dishes. Maybe at a team at work, you know, it's sort of like, who's going to do which part of which job? You talk it through. Well, that's a little bit of what this text speaks to this morning. So I want you to open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, and it's page 951 in the Bibles right there behind you. If you're looking for the Bible, it's right there in that parachute behind you in your seat. Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 26. This is the parable of the growing seed. And you may be familiar with other parables that are here in this chapter. Let me tell you what a parable is really quick, if that's new for you. Jesus often taught using stories. A lot of times they were about stuff in nature. And this is what we're going to see a little bit here today, too. So he would use stories, and they can be familiar to us. He would often describe, using this, he'd describe what the kingdom is like. This is a parable that we're looking at here this morning, the parable of the growing seeds, the only place in the Bible where this one occurs. It's not in any of the other gospels. And often what Jesus was doing when he taught these was explaining how the kingdom would come or what the kingdom would be like. So saying, look, let me give you a word picture, he'd say. Let me point to something in nature right around us that you can imagine what the kingdom is like to help you understand. And he was saying in this one in particular, this is not going to be a kingdom that comes by force. It's not going to be sort of a sudden burst of activity with power and might. It's going to be slow. It's going to be steady and often quiet and hidden. So I want you to hear this text today. It's short. I want you to hear it with your ears first. And then I've got some images for you to look at, so we'll hear it with your eyes as well. So I'll read it first the first time, and then I'm going to have Zoe come up and read it a second time, nice and slowly while we look at some images together. So Jesus also said, this is verse 26 of Mark chapter 4. Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, and then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. All right, Zoe, why don't you come up and read this? And I'm going to give you some images. So now this time, if you've read along, maybe this time listen to it and look at the images on the screen. Read it nice and slow for us.
He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come.
Thank you for doing the lights, Suzanne. All right, now, if you are the kind of person that listens with your hands, I've got some corn with us here today. And I promise there's a lot of corn in this talk, but no corny jokes, okay? Except for that one. There's that corny joke. If you would like to, I think the word is, in American English, it's shuck. If you'd like to shuck some corn right there in your seat during this talk, I have some. There's a whole stack of them over there. Ryan will give them out if you put your hand up. So if you would like to, young people, kids, any kids here in the front row want to shuck some corn during the talk, you don't have to, but I just want to give you some. Mike would like to do that as well. So put your hand up for some corn. Kids and adults, please don't eat it. It's not washed. Does anyone here have a corn? Sorry, Suzanne. Does anyone here have a corn allergy, just in case it's in the air and you can't breathe the corn? Yeah. So why this one? Why this one for me personally? You know, I love this one because it is all about, to me, motivation for mission. You know, it's what keeps me going and reminds me that God is in control of his mission on earth, that this is God's, that salvation belongs to God. And I think it's significant to us here at Good Shepherd Mission. It's significant to us because we can be a busy church. You ever notice that? We've got a lot of stuff on. We've got clubs, youth clubs, kids clubs. We've got a night shelter. We've got Hello Sundays coming up. Yes, I see corn going to different parts of the building now. This is good. We've got Hello Sundays coming up in August, and we can be really easily confused. You know, what is the point? Why are we doing all of this? And we can also kind of ask ourselves, what is our role? Like, who does which part of the work? Is this God's mission? Then what do we do in it? What's our part in God's mission? And so this text here, this simple story shows us, I think, that it's God's word that does God's work in God's timing. Let me say that again. This story tells us that it's God's word that does God's work in God's timing. So first, let's look at it. It's God's word. A man scatters seed on the ground. If you look at early in the part of the chapter of Mark chapter 4 there in your Bibles, you see that Jesus tells another story where the seed is the word of God. You know, and in fact, it says it in verse 14, the farmer sows the word, as Jesus explains it. And so we're going to take that as his meaning here too. You know, last week we learned that God's word is active. It's alive. And that means we can trust it to do God's work. We can trust God's word to do its work in us. And so what does that mean for us? Like, just us as God's people, what does it mean? It means we're called to sow seeds of truth, to sow seeds of God's word. I wonder if any of us have been on either side of that, the giving of a word in season or the receiving of a word in season, an encouragement from Scripture. And we're called as God's people to be ready with a word of encouragement from Scripture, with a word of challenge or correction, to be ready to sow seeds of God's word. I know some of you are so good at this, and this is a little bit of what happens. So for me, or for several of us, I know we can pray for someone, and God will bring a specific scripture to mind. And then you might actually think, okay, I'm going to just pray about that scripture for this person. Or you may text them with it and say, hey, this scripture came to mind. I know some of the guys in the men's WhatsApp group have been doing that, just kind of pairing up and then praying, and then a scripture comes to mind and you send that to them to encourage them. We're to be ready to sow these seeds of God's word. And it isn't just for Christians to encourage one another. It's actually sowing seeds, being ready with the truth of the gospel to share with our friends and neighbors who don't follow Jesus, to be ready to point to Jesus. That's really what this is about, to sow seeds of the gospel, to point to who Jesus is. So it's God's word that we share. We share it in season. We share it as a seed of gospel truth. If you want to think about what's the best way to do that in the culture around me, it's to point to Jesus, just to look for opportunities to point the way to Jesus. So it's God's word. And then second, it's God's work. I'm still getting the hang of this. It's God's work. Now let me get to this. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. That's verse 27. So look at that. So it's God's word. A man scatters seed on the ground, and then night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. You know, this is telling me that the farmer here is us. God's people faithfully scattering seeds of the gospel by proclaiming Jesus. If it was the farmer that was God, it wouldn't say he doesn't know how. He would know it. And also scripture says that God neither slumbers nor sleeps. So now the farmer in the story here isn't God, it's us, his people, and it's our responsibility to sow the seeds of the kingdom by sharing God's word. And then, do you know what we get to do? And I love this about this text. It's like a theology here of sleep. You can go to bed. You can go to bed. You can rest. You can get up. It doesn't matter if you go to bed or get up, because what happens next is God's work. You sow the seeds of the gospel, and what happens next is God's work. And so here you can see where Paul writes somewhere else. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. He refers to this. In fact, he uses the same image. Paul says, I planted the seed, and this other guy, Apollos, watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who makes things grow. He repeats himself. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. And they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers. Do you hear that? And you are God's field, God's building. What this means is, and you heard it twice in Paul's text, that God makes things grow. And verse 28 says, all by itself. That's where we get the word, it's where we get our word automatically. All by itself, automatically, the soil produces grain. First, the stalk. And then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. And remember, it's God's word that's alive. It's active. We can trust it to do what it says. And what does that mean for us? That means for us, we can rest and we can wait. It means we can trust God to be at work, sometimes even when we can't see it before our own eyes. That God's at work underneath the soil, growing things, growing people. Listen to how the growth happens. It's steady. It's assured. Did you catch that? Just in Jesus' simple parable, he says, even if it's quiet and unseen, there's power in God's word. First the stalk, and then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. And the coming harvest is guaranteed. Did you see that as well? The farmer isn't losing sleep at night, fretting over his field. He doesn't even know how it works, it says. But slowly and steadily, the soil does its thing. The seed grows strong and mature. That's discipleship. We talk about that here at Good Shepherd a lot. Discipleship, what it means for us to grow. God does the growth. And that means we can rest and wait and watch. So friends, the summary here really of all of this is that this is God's mission. This is God's work. God's word is the seed. We're called to share it by scattering it. And God's work is the growth. We're called to watch and to wait. So wait for what? Well, wait for God's timing. Look at the references to time just in this short story that Jesus shares. Verse 27. Night and day. Verse 28. First this. And then this, and then this. Verse 29, as soon as the grain is ripe, he says, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. We wait for God's timing. When does the harvest happen? At precisely the right moment. As soon as the grain is ripe. And then what happens in that moment, the farmer puts the sickle to it. Now you might think, okay, I don't really use a sickle very often, not kind of one of my common tools anymore. Let me define it for us. My dictionary says a sickle is that short-handled farming tool. We saw an image of it earlier. It's got a semicircular blade used for cutting grain, lopping, or trimming. Any of you guys used those in the last week? Okay, maybe not. What does it mean for us? It means there's, what does all of this say to us? It means there's seasons to things. Seasons for sowing. Seasons for growing. Seasons for waiting and for watching in faith, even when it looks like or feels like nothing's happening. In a season of harvest, there's a time for action. When the farmer sees it, he grabs the instrument and goes and gathers in the harvest. And that means for us knowing when to sow and when to wait. And that takes real prayer and discernment, doesn't it? It takes a steadiness and a patience and a willingness to give up control. There's that power word, give up control and even go to bed and say, this is God's work. But I'll stay faithful and watchful. And in my experience, that kind of prayer and discernment also means that I've got to work with other people to just be in touch with one another and cooperate about when the timing is right. So we're asked together as God's people to watch and to wait, and to be ready. So God's word does God's work in God's timing. And what's our part in the mission of God? Can I say, if I'm coming, I do this thing here at the mission, or if I'm talking with my neighbors, what's my part in all of this? We proclaim the good news about who Jesus is. We plant seeds of hope. We plant seeds of faith in the soil of people's lives, and then we watch and we rest in ready anticipation of what God does next. That's our part in God's mission. And I love that it's his word doing his work in his timing. You know, there's another way to read this, and it's an important one for us to get a hold of. And it's in the context of Jesus even speaking to an audience at the time when very often the people around them, just kind of pagan farmers, they would rely on cult sacrifices so that they could get the harvest that they wanted from their fields. Jesus is speaking the language of sacrifice. He's speaking of a seed that goes into the ground and dies so that something can come alive. Well, Jesus, in the whole story of God's Bible, the whole story of the scripture before us, Jesus is God's living word. He's the seed that fell into the ground and died and then grew up, resurrecting into new life, so that we could live. Friends, when we gather together and we worship that salvation is with God, we celebrate the fact that Jesus extended grace to us on the cross as the seed that fell into the ground and rose to new life. And that's good news. That's really good news. But there's another part of the news here, and it's in this story as well, and that is that judgment is coming. There will be a day. No one knows when it's coming, but it will be in God's perfect time, a time when God comes for the harvest of his people. There's a part of Joel, a prophet, earlier in scripture that says this. It's from Joel chapter 3. Similar imagery. It says, let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the nations on every side. And then it says this, swing the sickle. There's that word again. For the harvest is ripe. There is a harvest coming. And friends, I want to ask, will you be a part of it? And if you're here today and have not put your trust and faith in Jesus, I want to pray that God's work would do its work within you, deep within you, even now as you hear my voice. That you, by grace, are shown to be ready when the sickle of God's judgment comes. So guys, I chose this text for us today because this is such good news for our souls, that God is gracious, that his word is alive, that God grows us and makes us complete and ready. And there's such good news here for us on our mission together as God's people. It's good news for next week and the week after for Hello Sundays in August. And so I want to ask us, just as we look at this, what does it mean for us to sow seeds? I think it means for us together and individually to proclaim Jesus in every circumstance, to talk about who Jesus is and what he's done in our lives. And to make much of Jesus in our everyday conversations. That's what it means to sow these seeds and scatter these seeds on the ground. We do that at work. We do that at school and at home, on our streets and with our neighbors. And then we watch and we wait. Let me encourage you in a way to watch in a way, and that's to pray. You know, we got a taste of that in the week of prayer as we prayed for our patch. We watch and wait as we sow God's word. We watch and wait by prayer. And you've got opportunity week after week on Wednesdays to pray for young people in the coming weeks as they go off to Hazelmere. Let's watch and wait for God's work as we pray for them to come to faith, for them to grow up to a ripe and ready harvest. Let's pray on Friday mornings at the Joy Club. You're welcome at 7 a.m. I know it's early, but man, that's a great time for a farmer to go out and just look at the field and then to pray for God's harvest to come. So watch and wait and pray and don't give up. The harvest is coming. Let's be ready as God's people. Let's be ready together as God's community on mission. So let me pray for us now. God, I thank you that your word is alive and active and that you see fit to rescue us and redeem us from sin and from coming judgment. God, you rescue us by the power of your word through Christ's suffering on the cross. God, open our hearts to that again today. And God, bless us with the news to share with others as we scatter the seeds of your truth. Lord, would you bring a ready harvest here in Tower Hamlets and in London and across the nations? Lord, make us a people that are ready and watchful for what you are doing. Lord, we long to see people coming to faith from every nation, gathered around your throne to worship and to praise your name. So I ask that you would make that so in our day, that we would turn to you again in praise and say, how good are you? How faithful are you to your work and to your mission? In Jesus' name, amen.